On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, Jenny shows you how she gave a formal dining room a completely new feel by installing vertical shiplap. Also, can we find new life for an old punching bag? How to give a new spin to 60s diner chairs? And can we revive an old kitchen? All that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Welcome to Junkin' with Jenny. Here we are. Tony Bruschi. Jenny Bruschi.
Hi.
That's us. Welcome to the episode. And we are doing this, of course, live on Facebook. So if you're tuning in right now, hello and welcome. If you're tuning into the podcast, this is actually going to be the first episode of the new year.
Okay.
So if you're listening to the audio version of this, it's January.
Okay.
If you're watching this live on Facebook, it's not even Christmas yet. So
not quite.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And any other holiday you'd like to insert in there,
Yeah. We
are celebrating it tonight.
Yes.
So there you go. Lots of fun stuff on tonight's episode. As you just saw, we're going to be talking about a big shiplap project that we did this week.
Giant.
Shiplap galore.
Holy shiplap.
In a completely different direction than you're used to seeing shiplap going. It's amazing. It is. Leave your comments if you're watching on Facebook Live. Leave your thoughts, feedback as we go through the episode tonight, and we will read them as we go through the episode. Tonight's creative juice, by the way, this is a good one. I've been excited about this all week, about
you
getting
have.
This in.
You have.
This is Wines of Substance. This is a Charles Smith wine, and this line came out this year, and this is their Cabernet Sauvignon. And if you're not familiar with Charles Smith and his wines, he's kind of like, Google him, number one, okay?
Yeah.
And YouTube him too, because there's some neat videos out there. He's kind of like the rock star of the wine world,
okay?
And the guy literally has a background in like rock life.
Okay.
Like for many years, he was over in Europe and touring, part of a lot of rock bands and things of that nature, leading that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Came back to the U.S. At a certain point, wandered around Walla Walla, kind of fell in love with it in Washington State, which is a beautiful place, and then just kind of started getting into the wine business. And started out with a brand you may have seen, K. Syrah, and K. Vintners. There's several wines under that label now. And he's also the man behind, we've even had this before. Remember the House Wines?
Yeah.
That's been kind of a popular, economical wine brand.
Mm-hmm.
Behind that, and just his labels are very unique, and his wines are very unique.
Yes.
Sustainably grown, a lot of single vineyard wines, just really interesting stuff. And he is kind of like the wine man of Washington State, and really one of the big ones in the country over the last 10, 15, 20 years, that just knows his stuff and knows how to make some really, really awesome wines. He has this place in Walla Walla. He's now opened up a place in Seattle called Jet City.
Okay.
Which is, it's interestingly described. It's like, it's their vineyard. It's an urban vineyard. And it's not a concert venue, but they'll have concerts there. It's not a restaurant, but they'll have food.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the wine in there. It's just, it's so cool.
That's so cool.
It's one of those things where if you're ever in Seattle, definitely a place to check out. But you can get their wines all over the country. They have so many brands. The Substance line is what we're checking out tonight, and it's really cool. It's a play on the elements.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all different elemental wines, if you will. And it's just good stuff. So Cabernet Sauvignon, their 2015 is what we're trying here tonight. This man also, by the way, I'm excited because he knows his shit.
Okay.
he does, and that's what I like. Just how, because the wines are always so good. Only guy ever named the winemaker of the year in food and wine and wine enthusiast simultaneously, 2014.
Oh.
It's good stuff.
It is.
Anyway,
yes.
Cabernet Sauvignon, check it out. The link is up on our website at Junkin' with Jenny.
com to check it out. Substance is the line, and the Cabernet Sauvignon is what we're having tonight. So it is good stuff. You'll see the bottle being poured multiple times throughout the show.
Yes.
I'm just going to sit over here so I don't knock it over in the middle of the show.
He's going to keep it over there so I don't reach
for I'm going to go off camera every now and then, and you're just going to kind of see a bottle kind of tilted over here, and then you come back with like, okay, yes, let's talk about this or that. So
we did get new wine glasses, and it is as big as it looks.
Yeah, it's like insane. It's very deceiving. Like, you pour like this much. Like, I think you pour the whole bottle in this glass, technically.
This glass is just ridiculously large. It's like it should have a betta fish living in it, yeah. And a koi pond. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
So, by the way, Diana says you have a lovely necklace tonight.
Thank you.
So does Holly.
Thank you.
What about my necklace? I mean, I can...
You shaved before the show.
I did.
All smooth.
What about my chest hair? Is my chest hair beautiful?
Stop.
Is that... Just stop. Don't do that.
Stop.
Don't do that, honey. I did shave before the show. I decided, you know what? Let's be shiny.
So the kids will have little furry animals to see on the sidewalk tomorrow.
Exactly. Because I do. I shave, and it's on a towel, and then I go shake it out.
Yeah.
And then the kids go out for school in the morning, and they go, what is this furry thing that's... They literally thought it was like a mouse or something that had died.
They thought it was like baby chipmunks, and they freaked out. And then they realized it was just Dad's hair. So I know we've told that story on the Ghost Show.
Scarring the children, one shave at a time.
Okay.
That's my song for the evening. So anyway, let's jump into our program and some of the stuff that we've been working on. As you saw in the intro, Shiplap. We all know Jenny loves Shiplap.
We
all know you love Shiplap. And that's why we've actually, you know, you thought tonight we're going to talk about Shiplap. This is actually an intervention on Shiplap. Guys, you want to come out? We're going to sit down. That's not a Shiplap intervention.
No.
But what we've been working on, you saw the beams the other week as part of the project we've been working on in the formal dining area that was on last week's episode. Now, we're literally gone through and shiplapped the entire perimeter of the room.
We've used shiplap as a wainscoting.
Yes.
So it's gone around the entire perimeter of the room. And if you don't know what a wainscoting is, it's kind of a decorative trim detail. And it can go up as high or as low as you want. We chose to take it a full 8 foot high just so I didn't have to cut every board. But I mean, traditionally you can, you know, do that at about 3 feet. It just is a matter of preference how high you want to do that.
And we did, I mean, really, this is a cool project because we have a taller ceiling in there, so we're able to get away with the taller.
It's a tray ceiling, so it's got multiple levels that go up, but the bulk of the room around the perimeter is 10 foot high. So we had plenty of room to kind to figure out what we wanted to do, and we wanted to make it substantial since it is our dining room.
So with that being said, that's really what we did there. So the wainscoting is up, and then on top of, let's talk about before we get into what's on top and the colors and all that, let's talk a little bit about how to get something like this up, because this was kind of an interesting we got going on it, and oh, we didn't think of that.
Yeah.
And it was studs.
Well, when you run shiplap, traditionally you run it horizontally. So it's going long ways across your wall. And you have kind of this little overlap portion. That's where the lap comes from on shiplap. And that's where you traditionally, you know, nail or screw it into your wall. And when you find your studs, it's very easy to just nail it or screw it into your stud. Because eventually, you know, as you add boards, it gets heavy. So you want to make sure you've got that properly supported. We're running it vertically, so we don't have to worry about the weight so much, but we have to make it stand up. And these boards are 6 inches wide, and your studs should be, if they are accurate, 16-inch on center. That means from the center of one stud to the center of the next stud.
That's relying on a really, really good contractor to do it correctly.
Yes. Yeah. So what we did was we started to put them up, and we realized, you know, they just weren't feeling secure enough screwing them into the sheetrock.
Sure.
Even though they're not really heavy boards. They're pine. They're pre-primed. And they're not heavy boards, but I wasn't comfortable that they were going to stay up, and you could have a potential domino effect. Should one come loose, they could kind of topple one after another because you, again, have that lap that overlaps.
Great during a dinner party.
So we had to figure out a way to get these to have some sort of security to screw into the wall. So you actually came up with the idea of taking thin, you know, ripped down 2x4s.
Yeah.
So we ripped them down to about an inch wide. Mm-hmm. Find where the studs are, screw those into the studs, and then screw the shiplap into those boards. So it ended up being bumped out about an inch from the wall all the way around the room, but it's now secured.
And what you see here, there's actually more support stuff than what you see in this picture that's on the screen right now. That's just one of the support beams. We ended up actually putting up about, what, three in total all the way across?
All the way, one at the top, one at the middle, and one at the bottom, just to keep it kind of evenly spaced out from the wall.
So the first thing is get the support beams up across the perimeter of your room.
And they're not really even a beam. They're almost like a lattice that kind of goes across. You know, these are 1 inch wide by maybe 2 inches tall.
And you could even go thinner if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. We just used what we had.
Right.
And just got those into the studs. And then that's what you screw directly into as you're going and running the perimeter of the room. So that is how you get it up without having to get a stud on every single one. You're essentially creating your own your own stud as
exactly.
you go through. So what you end up with is this beautiful wainscoting that runs the whole perimeter of the room. And then on the top of this thing, you finish it off with essentially kind of a ledge. How would you describe what you did here? This is it in progress on screen right now, which, by the way, you can watch this, junkinwithjenny.com, if you're listening to the audio podcast of this, to see what we're talking about.
It's a very simple, very beginner, elementary craftsman picture ledge. Mm-hmm. So it's a 6x1 inch board that goes across the top of all the pieces of shiplap, and then a 1x3 that lays vertically or lays horizontally. So you're putting the 1x6 up on the face of the boards, and then you're capping the top with the 1x3. So it just kind of rests on there, and we screwed it into the wall, but it finishes off all the boards, because inevitably when you're putting up shiplap or whatever kind of boards, they're not all going to be the standard 8 foot that they say they are. They're going to be, you know, 8'2" or 7'10". They're not going to be quite right, and so I went with 6 inches to make sure I covered any variance in the height of the boards. And it's very simple, but it just gives a very clean, finished off look to the wainscoting, which is, like I said, we left it a full 8 foot tall. So by the time this is done, it's closer to, you know, 8'3", 8'4" high from the top of the baseboards.
And a very, very doable project, really. I mean, this is, if you can measure, you can do this. There's no weird angles, there's none of that. It's just
no
measure your boards.
Angles,
no,
nothing like that. I mean, it's like Legos with wood. You can just put them together, screw them in, and where the gaps don't line up exactly perfect, that's what caulking's for.
What I like about this room, and what's really kind of cool about it, is the fact that you can have, you know, a nice kind of neutral, safer color, like the whites we're working with here. But if you're someone who goes, I really like bold colors, I like something that stands out, something that pops, but it would probably be a bit overwhelming if this was my entire room.
Sure.
This is a great way to be able to get those colors into a room that otherwise it may be a bit much. And that's a step I think a lot of people miss is they just, I like that color, and they go for it. I've done that. And then it's like, oh my God.
It's too much.
Yeah, but this is a way you can really add a bold color. And you've always gone with safer colors, and we've talked about this.
Yes.
But this is a way I was able to kind of nudge you to go, let's go with something really bold, really kind of cool. Just
what happened was when we moved into this house, gray has been the go-to color for the last 5 years. Any varying shade of gray, blue, gray, brown, gray, whatever. And I overdid it with the gray. I'll be the first to admit that I made a mistake on this house, and I totally killed what I loved most about it. It was the light airiness feel and the way the light bounced around. The gray just sucked that in. So I thought, we've got to do something different. And honestly, when you look into a room and it looks like a black and white picture, you've done it wrong. And I had done that. I had done it to where hallways, dining rooms, whatever, looked like a shades of sepia picture. Mm-hmm. So we decided to add some more light to the room, but you, I wanted to incorporate some sort of blue, and you really pushed me to go darker and bolder, and I'm so glad that we did, because if we hadn't, it really wouldn't make the impact that it did. And some of the pictures, it looked like
Look almost black just because of the shading.
But it's a dark teal blue-green color.
And you can really see it in this shot here.
And it's just 2 feet high around the room. And then, you know, we left the ceiling white and we had the crown molding there. So it's enough to add some color and add some interest without overwhelming the room. But if I, you know, if we decide to change it to a different color, again, it's 2 foot high all the way around the room. It's real easy because I don't see us ever painting the shiplap anything but white.
Yeah, it's quick, it's doable, and it's really, it adds a lot of, adds a real pop to the room. I really like just the boldness of the color. And this is a room that we're not quite done with yet, so we will do a really nice before and after as we finish this thing up. But here's kind of a preliminary before. I'm showing the video, the image on screen right now. It's that room. It's before we had the beams up. It's before we did any of the wainscoting and anything. And a nice room. I mean, it really wasn't bad. I mean,
it wasn't bad, but there's absolutely no color in it at all. And it just, as I walked by it every day, I was like, you know, this isn't what I want to see every day.
So here's kind of the before and the after that you see on screen. It's not the exact same angle yet because there's still a lot of elements we're still working on in the room to wrap it up. But we'll have a nice before and after soon. But you can really see, I mean, it doesn't even look like the same room anymore.
Right.
It totally gave it a whole new feel. And we're actually going to be carrying this wainscoting into a living room area and doing a whole fireplace project on some upcoming episodes as well.
Yeah, in a way. We're going to carry the effect of it without doing actually shiplap throughout the whole main floor. We're going to have elements of it.
Sure.
Stacy asked a great question. What's the history of wainscoting, and is that the right spelling? It's kind of antique-y looking, and I like it. I can't tell you the exact history of wainscoting as far
as...
You don't know.
I can tell you the history.
You didn't know wainscoting before I said, hey, let's put up wainscoting.
Back in 1937, a man named Wayne decided to coat his room in boards. It was after
a track... Why are you talking like Jay Peterman? Anyway.
I'm giving the history of wainscoting.
So, I don't know exactly how old it is. I know it's in a lot of very older, much older traditional houses. I think the purpose of it is to actually protect the walls. And most of the time it's made out of different types of wood, usually painted. Sometimes you can stain it, but most of the time in the older homes it's actually painted white or some shade of cream. And I do think it was just to kind of protect walls in high traffic areas. You did spell it right, so feel free to Google it and fill me in. But I knew what it was, and I wanted to incorporate a form of it. There's all different types of it. You can get very simple, just, you know, basically a board and batten style, or you can get very ornate where you've got almost, it looks like picture frames built into your wall. There's all different kinds. So,
Alexa, what's the history of wainscoting? She doesn't know that.
You don't know that. No, so.
Of course she does.
Okay.
So there you go. Is that red wine nice?
It's great. And I have to say, it's one of the better smelling red wines that we've had on the show. It just, I don't know what it is, but it smells really, really, really nice.
You know, all the wines that we've had sent to us have been really good. The only wine I would say we've ever had on the show that I went, oh God, wasn't even a creative juice. It was just one that we had around the house.
And it was like, lying around.
Let's open this up. And it was the week before we started doing creative juices as a thing. And thank God we did, because now we have good wine. But that one we had that one week before we started doing it was like, there's elements of dog? But
not even dog, but dog waste.
Yeah, but thank God we're getting good wine.
We're getting good wine now. No more dog shit wine.
I mean, it was just like after we stopped the show, because like normally you'll see us sipping on the wine throughout the episode, but that episode, like, there wasn't much sipping going on. They just kind of sat there. And after we stopped the show, I said, what are you smelling in this?
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes wines do have ethereal elements to them, meaning just kind of earth tone,
yeah,
you know, minerality and things.
Sure.
And you kind of go, oh, that's, I'm picking up some dirt, but then there's like, you know, grapes and deep, you know, there's other elements that make it a pleasant wine. But that one was just like, what the hell is that? But
subtle notes of sewage.
So nice to have good wine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yes, this is a great wine. Substance is the line. It's a Charles Smith wine, which if you're familiar with some of the other ones, the K, the Sixto, the Vino, they have tons of lines that are all just great. And this is a new one for this year. The Substance, this is your Cabernet Sauvignon. So. Do you want more right now? Are you good?
I'm good right now.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm actually savoring this, but so hopefully tomorrow we will finish painting the wainscoting. It's all primed, and then I can start getting the room put back together this weekend, and we can have pictures very soon. But I had a little one with the ear infection and one with the crud, so they were both home today, so not much happened.
I encourage them to tell their friends they had rabies when they go back to school. And it was funny because I took our littlest one, Harper, to the doctor's office this morning, and she's in there and she's, you know, the first person goes in and takes the temperature.
That's
and
all the nurse.
The nurse practitioner?
That's the nurse.
That's the nurse. And then who's the next person?
Usually a nurse practitioner or a doctor.
Okay. So it's the nurse and the nurse practitioner. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah.
Tony says something goofy. Jenny drink. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, she'd be like passed out if we
anyway
did that. We were in there and she's sitting there on the doctor table, you know, where they have the exam table. I speak in 5-year old speak because that's where I am vocabulary wise. But she's sitting up there and she's, you know, she's five, so she's kind of restless, she's been scurrying around, and we're waiting for the nurse practitioner to come in and do whatever she needs to do to make sure she's okay and give her whatever she needs. And she looks down, and all of her hair goes down. And then all of a sudden, she just turns her head slowly and looks at me. And she has this thing she can do with her eyes that's really creepy, and she loves it because it's funny and
she
creepy.
Rolls them back, and you just see
can
the
I
lights.
Do it? Do I do it well?
You don't do it at all.
Am I doing it at all?
Nope.
I have to watch the video. It's just her the whites of her eyes, and it's like someone is possessed. And then she goes, "No, Hoppa. Only Zool." Just like Ghostbusters. Like, no Dana, only Zool.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Daddy, can I say that to the nurse and pretend I'm possessed?" Like, honey, that's probably not a good idea. The Child Protective Services may not.
I don't think it'd be the weirdest thing that they've heard in that doctor's office.
Yeah.
Because I shit you not, the last time I was there, there was some guy in the room next to me talking extremely loud about being bit by a wolf. So you don't fucking know what's going to happen when you go to the doctor's office in the Ozarks.
It could be anything.
So
it is. It can be a wild ride as far as what you may get. The man talking, and the thing is, I believe it. I've been out on the golf course, out really close to our house.
We've heard them. We know they are around, but he was like, it's kind of a mythical thing here. Some people believe it. Some people don't.
I saw one.
They used to be here a lot,
but
now not so much.
Me and Livy were out. We were driving the cart, going up to one of the holes, and Livy, you know, she's an 11-year-old girl that can be kind of dramatic, but so I was kind of taking it with a grain of salt, like, "Dad, there's a wolf over there." And I'm thinking, "Oh, maybe it's a coyote." that's realistic, a coyote. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, and I'm looking. I'm sure she saw something.
Yeah.
And I'm looking. I'm like, "Holy shit, that is a wolf." And, I mean, it was not a coyote. It was a wolf standing on the tee box where we're supposed to tee off from. And then she's like, "Blah, blah, blah. Be quiet. Be quiet." Like, we have to sneak away here. And the golf carts are, like, speed controlled, so you can't,
so
like,
you go 5 miles an hour outrunning the wolf.
So I'm just like, and we get away. So that's adventures there. So, hey, if you have a item, space, place that you'd like to
wolf
transition.
Whatever.
What I just did was a transition. Hey, piece of taxidermy you'd like some advice on, send it into us at junkinwithjenny.com, and we may use it on a future episode of the program. You can submit your pictures there, and we may talk about it and give you some ideas and advice. Tony looks like a newborn, is what Myron says in the comments. Thank you. I try to go for a new look every now and then. Let's move on to our next item that someone has submitted to us to get some advice on. Let's go to this thing right here, and this, what we're looking at, it's like the headboard essentially to what would be probably a twin bed or a full-size bed.
Nope.
No,
not even a little bit.
What is it?
It's actually a bookshelf that goes on top of a desk, like a hutch.
Okay.
So it would have sat on another piece of furniture. So it's kind of open on the bottom, raised up. It's got two shelves, and it's got some supports in the front.
Then I just invented a new use for it, didn't I?
Yeah.
After assuming so what it might
you.
Be.
Yeah. So it's a headboard for Tony. No, it's actually, it's a bookcase that goes on top of a desk. And, you know, I don't know what the exact dimensions are of it. It looks fairly like the size of a twin headboard. It mm-hmm. could be larger than that. And that's going to make a huge difference on how you use it because of how heavy it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like the idea of actually just putting a shelf on the bottom, taking those front two decorative supports out and making it just a regular bookcase. You mm-hmm. could even kind of cut off. They've got these little decorative, we'll say points, if you will, where they kind of come to a point, and then you've got this decorative support that's not structural at all. You could easily cut that off and just turn the whole thing into a simple bookcase, which could be used, you know, mm-hmm. on top of another piece of furniture or just on the ground.
Mm-hmm. The way it's laid out, there's a lot of things you can do with the wood. You could chalk paint it, you could paint it, you could sand it and stain it another way if you'd like. It's a really versatile piece. I would say the idea I would have would be to use it as a headboard, because
Sure.
Because you just told me that's not what it was. I thought, but you're right, it is kind of like lower to the ground. Unless you're just laying the mattress on the ground, but you could easily affix this thing to the wall up a little bit. And it could be, I would take probably the poles out in the middle of it and just really kind of modernize this thing up. Probably black chalk paint is the direction I'd go. Maybe a bit of an accent or something on some of the top pieces of it. But I think it could make a decent headboard for a guest bedroom or a kid's bed, especially a kid's bedroom. You know, putting books, there's stuff on it. There's a lot of things that could be. I could see this really being a fun headboard as a kid, you know, where you're sitting in bed, you're playing with stuff and you're putting stuff away. It's just right there, not laying in bed with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other thing that I thought of when I saw it, I kind of thought, how would I personally use it in my house? And not just the generic, what would you do with it? I've been wanting an old-fashioned plate rack that hangs on the wall where you have the dowels that are vertical, where you stick the plates in between. And I thought this might work for that, where you could put cup hooks along the bottom where it's open and then add some dowel rods between those two shelves and maybe make a plate rack, depending on how deep it is. If it's not deep enough, the plates are going to roll out and that's pointless. But if you, you know, were able to attach dowel rods, which you can get at any hardware store or craft store, depending on how big or little you want them, you know, is how you affix them. But I would do that. I would actually make it into a plate rack. Do you you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
The old time kind of country farmhouse kitchen style. That's what I've been wanting, because I have more plates than I know what to do with.
You're kind of a plate hoarder. There's a level.
You know what? I have it
under control. Squirrels between them sometimes.
I haven't bought plates in I don't know how long. Yeah. But I collected dishes. I was a weird teenager. I collected dishes when I was a teenager, and I have some beautiful, very old sets that I will pass on to our girls, but I don't feel the need to gather anymore, but I need to use and display and love the ones I have.
It's like hoarders.
It's not hoarders at all.
I mean, like, I'm going to give this to my kids. It's like, your kids don't want them. There's squirrels stuck between the plates.
The kids have already said which ones they wanted.
They've staked their claim on the plates?
They're just waiting for me to die so they can have the dishes.
there you go. Kids, someday you'll look back on this episode going, yeah, Mom had a
kind
point
of,
there. Yeah,
kind of true.
So, okay, there you go. Would be good for towels too, says Stacy.
I could see that hanging in a bathroom, towels stuck and maybe some baskets for some toiletries. That would be really good.
Sure. Let's go to a space. Let's grab this space right here. This is a kitchen.
Okay.
This is a kitchen that could use a little bit of work.
This is like grandma's kitchen. This has the knotty pine paneling doors and front and you know, surround on the bottom. The only thing that's missing that, you know, my grandmother literally had in her kitchen was the cabinet bank that hung over the bar where you couldn't see people in the kitchen. You had to kind of look between the countertop and under the cabinets. But this is a fairly large space for, I'm guessing, an older home. And I really, you know, I don't know how old the cabinets are. It looks like they're probably from the 50s or 60s, which if they're in good shape, I would paint them.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond, because I don't see changing the layout of this room beyond what it is. It looks like the layout is actually good. I would probably add a range hood over where the range is, and you know, consider taking the scalloped little decorative window opening down. That's between you've got your window over the kitchen sink, and you've got cabinets on both sides, and they kind of have the scalloped piece of wood. Just knock that thing down. Nobody needs that. That's so date your kitchen. But I would paint all the cabinets, and actually it looks like this kitchen doesn't get a whole lot of light, so I would paint them a lighter color, either a cream, a light gray, even white if you know you're into a white kitchen, and replace the backsplash. But I would try and work with the cabinets, because that's a huge expense that you can save on and really make it, you know, you can really, really save a lot of money if you don't have to do that.
Let me ask you about the backsplash there, because it looks fairly textured as far as what we're seeing here on the screen. It's hard to get a good look at it from this picture. Can you paint tile? Can you chalk paint tile? Can you Rust-Oleum tile?
Okay, technically you can paint tile. There's a primer that you should put over it first. I don't know exactly which one it is, but there is a specific primer for painting over tile. Mm-hmm. And then you can get paint that's meant for that. The problem is with kitchens is that they're heavy use for the most part, and you're going to end up having that chip or scratch. It's not going to hold up well.
Okay.
I would, if you're concerned about the cost of replacing that much tile for the backsplash, you know, there's tile out there that's really inexpensive, that's classic, that can go, you know, for years and years and years, and nobody's going to ever know how old it is. I would just pull all of it out.
Okay, I was just curious, because it looks like a nice kind of a thicker tile that's in there, and the texture looks like it could be okay. It's just, it's like, can you change, you know, whatever ornate colors they may have on it to be a little bit more modern.
It won't last.
You're better off just ripping it out and doing a DIY.
It's good if you're going to paint it, take a picture, and then that's the only day it's going to look good.
I totally agree on painting the cabinetry. I think that is a salvageable thing. Paint it, change your hardware. It looks like new cabinetry. The layout's not bad at all. I mean, it would really be easy to get maybe not a permanent island into this kitchen, but I maybe would do something that's like kind of a rolling cart.
A rolling island would be good, because then you could totally move it out of the way if you don't need it. But I agree, because there's a lot of space there. It's kind of it's a very wide galley with a little bit of a peninsula on the one side. So, you know, you've got the space for an island, but it may be kind of cumbersome if you've got a lot of people over, and people always congregate in the kitchen. So I like your idea.
There's a lot of easy things you could do to that space without having to completely reconstruct it, so to speak. Brad also says really nice layout to work with, many options with that space. You're right. There's a lot to do there. So that is that space. If you have a space, place, item you want some advice, thoughts on, send it to us. JunkinWithJenny.com is the place to go to do just that. Let's go to this one, because I have no clue what the hell to do with this thing. This is a little punching bag, and it's on a piece that is holding it up. Essentially, this would, mount onto something. And then there's your punching bag. I think there's more uses probably for the mount than the punching bag itself. Jenny, your thoughts?
You totally stole my thunder there, because I was going to say ditch the round piece that the punching bag is hanging from.
Yeah.
And just keep just the metal brackets that hold it to the wall.
Sure.
They're really neat. They're kind of, for those of you listening to the show, these are very, very long U-shaped brackets
yeah.
that are metal that are going to attach to the wall. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure everybody's seen how a punching bag actually affixes.
And there's different ways of affixing them. So you have the U-shaped brackets, then a circle piece of metal, and in the center of the circled piece of metal is the punching bag.
Sure. So I would just ditch the punching bag and the circle mm-hmm. piece and just keep just the brackets. And they're kind of neat. You could hang them out from the wall mm-hmm. and use them as supports for wood shelves, mm-hmm. or you could even hang them from the ceiling and use them for some supports vertically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a lot of options there. I don't know. What would you do with them?
The thought I had on it, but it would require some metal fabrication, so it's kind of a step mm-hmm. beyond normality, is I think it would be a neat wine glass rack holder if you could get some circular metal up there to hold the glasses. I suppose you could get some bendable, copper or something to do it with. It would be very difficult to get it perfectly, circular, though.
You mean beyond just attaching these brackets really close together?
Take the punching bag off, do something with the color of it, paint it, do something. Mm-hmm. But I'm just thinking of, you have like a starting point on the on the circle that has an opening to mm-hmm. it. And then the circular motion kind of goes around the thing. And there's two metal brackets where essentially you just put wine glasses on it and they hang in a circular motion. And you can get so many on there. It'd be really kind of a neat piece. It's mm-hmm. just, how do you get that metal fabricated to be like that? I suppose if you reached out to a metal fabrication place in your town, you may be surprised how
sure.
economical they probably do it for. Just going, I need basically two pieces of metal just bent in this direction and made this way. Can we do this?
How about this? How about in the spirit of talking about our creative juices, mm-hmm. you bolt them to some heavy wood so mm-hmm. they stand upright.
Mm-hmm.
And you could easily fit staggered wine bottles in there, and it's a wine bottle holder. You put the two of them one in front of the other, and then you stack the wine bottles back and forth on them.
I'm not understanding how you're doing this.
Really?
No.
Okay, so you bolt them to the ground.
You're bolting what to the ground?
You're bolting the metal U-shaped bracket things. Instead of hanging them on the wall,
okay,
you're bolting them to where that is. They're like St. Louis arches up.
Okay.
One
okay.
in front of the other.
Okay.
So then you can stick wine bottles in there. I don't think you could fit two side by side, but you could kind of
come back onto camera.
You could kind of fit one and then another, kind of staggered back and forth.
Okay, I think I see what you're saying.
If I had thought of it earlier, I would have drawn it. Sorry.
I have a notepad here.
Okay. I can do this.
We're going to play Pictionary now, everybody.
Pictionary! Okay.
I'm going to draw an obscene picture.
Nope, you're not. Okay.
What is this?
This is going to look obscene with wine bottles and arches. Wait,
that's not a wine bottle holder, Jenny.
Oh, I gotta start over already.
Dun, 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 dun. While Jenny is doing that, I'm gonna tell the story of shiplap. Once upon a time in 1934, a man named James Lapp decided. Oh, damn it, you're.
So they're standing up like this, one
Jeez.
In front of the other.
What the hell are you drawing?
That's. Shut up. Anyway.
She drew this kind of, for those of you listening to the program, cylindrical object that...
Whatever. I'm working on this. I'm trying to not
okay.
be obscene. It's very
Back
difficult.
To the story of Mr. Lapp.
Shut up. Anyway. Okay, so there's...
I see.
Bottles stacked in this thing.
How are you supporting them in there, though? Are they just kind of just stacking on top of each other?
They kind of just stack one on top of each other.
So you have to take the top off first, otherwise they would all kind of, you can't like grab from the bottom.
Probably, yeah. I mean, that's two thoughts. I didn't have that second thought.
Well, it's like an X wine holder where you have to...
Right, where you have them all stacked on each other.
Okay. I could see that. I could see that working. There you go. Anyone have any better ideas than that? Oh, God is what I see for a comment.
Man cave light fixture. That would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty cool.
Stacy says, I live for Thursday nights. So do we.
Obscene Pictionary, right?
This is must-see TV.
Is it a wine bottle or something else?
I don't know what she's referring to.
You thought I was going to go there.
She just stopped mid-sentence. Okay, so there you go. Good luck with that thing. I could see it being an interesting. I see the light idea as well. I always go down that road, but I could see kind of doing something neat with that too. So there you go. I see it, Jenny. Do you need a glass of wine because of the kids or Tony? Says Chelsea.
Kind of both, because it was a sick day for both Munchkins today, mm-hmm. and Tony is Tony, so.
I lock myself in my office and I don't come out all day.
No. So. He doesn't make me drink. He makes me laugh, and I really love that.
So. And drink. Watching from Washington State. Well, then, Michael.
Go get some of this
go
wine.
Go get some of this wine.
It's in your backyard.
Yes.
Yes.
Walla Walla, they have a place. And also in Seattle, they have the other place, too. So it is cool. Fun fact, I actually used to be on the air on the radio in Walla Walla, Washington. I'm not kidding.
I know you're not
kidding. I never lived there, but I did, it's called voice tracking. It's where you put people who are not really there and they do pretend they're there. And I did an afternoon show on a top 40 station there, mm-hmm. for several years. Even flew out there once. They had the station was called OK95. And they had a their listener concert, their celebration of the year, kind of their thank you for listening thing. And the concert that I went for, and keep in mind, this was like 2003, 4-ish.
Okay.
And it was kind of a retro concert. And on stage, I got to intro Tone Loc and Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Nice.
At like the Best Western in Walla Walla.
Okay.
And Sir Mix-a-Lot demanded a huge amount of security just to get from his suite at the Best Western to the stage.
Is that the I Like Big Butts guy?
And I cannot lie.
Okay.
Yes. That.
I only know that because our 5-year-old loves that song.
She does.
Anyway.
Yeah, but I have been out in that area. It's a beautiful place. I had no idea there was like kind of like... you know, in that area of the country, I didn't realize there was like desert settings as well. I never think of Washington as having that. But I mean, it goes from lush to desert to it's a beautiful part of the country. In a great wine region as well. So anyhow.
What do we got next?
Now up next, here we go. These lovely seats.
Okay. What were they?
The way it was submitted to me, it said it was a lunch counter, but they're numbered. That's why I'm thinking, like, I don't get the numbering on this. But
I love the numbering. These mm-hmm. look like almost, and I know it's not what they are, but they almost look like old school seats without the desk in front of them. But there's numbers in the upper, when you're looking at it, the upper right-hand corner.
They're wooden stools that are not high, they're low sitting, so it would almost be like low sitting lunch counter, I guess you could go with.
Yeah.
But they're really, you know, almost Art Deco-ish in style.
And they have a metal base that looks like right now they're bolted to some wooden circles mm-hmm. to kind of keep these from standing up, or keep them to mm-hmm. support them to stand up, I mean, but you could bolt them to the floor, which I'm sure they were bolted wherever they were before.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really cool. And you know what I would do with them? I would actually, if I had a round table
mm-hmm.
and it was like, you know, the size of a 4-person table, yeah. so like a 4-foot size table,
sure.
I would actually bolt them to the floor around the table. And I think that's great because how often do you have to move chairs to sweep under the table and everything? And it's just got this simple round base that goes up, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they swivel.
Yeah.
And I just think they're really, really neat. And I love that they have the numbers on there, whatever mm-hmm. the numbers mean. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think this would be a really neat, like man cave type item because
mm-hmm.
they with the numbers on them, I was getting like stadium type seating out of it,
yeah.
and I know it's not, but it's almost like really, unless maybe the seats themselves at one point were a stadium type seat, and then they got bolted to these,
mm-hmm.
Its current state, and it's kind of already a mix match of different things.
It's repurposing, repurposed. Yeah.
I would take what you have here. And if you have a man cave of some sort, what I would do is, because they're you could always put new stands on it. But what I'd actually do is I would make these as bar stools. I know they're lower, but here's what you do. You kind of elevate the bar up a little, or elevate the area where these things mm-hmm. sit a little bit. And then you have, so a step or two up, you can then sit in these stools, and then your bar is on the other side, but that's lower. The floor to the bar is lower than where this is.
Uh-huh.
And then you put these four things in front of the bar. So they're kind of sitting up here, but the bartender can be back here and still standing at regular height, and it would all work out.
Okay.
And it's a neat little unique idea for a man cave. In front of it, in front of that bar, mm-hmm. that's where you have your projector and your big screen. So it's almost something you could just sit back in and watch the okay. game or something at.
Like stadium seating
yeah.
in your house.
Other than you know, the man cave thing now is, you know, the theater seating and all that. Mm-hmm. I would go with this for your seating, but have your bar literally right behind you, just like in a sports bar. The screen is back there, and this would be kind of the seating for it. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, when you said bar stool, I could see unbolting it completely from the support base.
You can do a totally new base.
Do a new base that raises it up and makes it into a bar stool. Either, either have somebody make it out of metal, or I'm a big fan of making things out of pipe. So I would, you know, look at making bases for these seats out of pipe high enough that it fits whatever bar height you need.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't want to, I mean, it would be kind of an undertaking to elevate an area, but it would be a neat mm-hmm. accent as well. Because, I mean, man caves are kind of that. They're kind of doing extreme things to an area of the house that normally wouldn't have something so extreme in it.
But we're about doing that through that whole
And that's
house.
Where it can be really fun.
Yeah.
That's where I could see, like, leaving it on this base. Don't change the base, change the elevation of the room in certain areas to make this work. It's like, oh, I step up two steps here and you get this whole little, you know, and that kind of also makes it more of the stadium setting
mm-hmm.
where it's like, oh, I'm walking into my box or my area. So there's a lot of ways you could play with this and have some fun with those seats.
I would love to find those.
Yeah.
And I would bring them home.
I really do like this. Michael says, heck yeah, Zilla Washington is awesome with great wine too. So we have Michael who's out there who knows all about the wines of Washington State. Yeah, they got some great stuff out there. I do like California wines, but I would actually say Washington and even Oregon. I tend to preference up in that area sometimes. I mean, I like wines from everywhere. In January and February on the show, we're going to be talking about Michigan wines.
Okay.
And that's something that I think a lot of folks don't even realize exist sometimes or that are good. But I learned that when I lived there
mm-hmm.
12 years ago. Perfect Riesling country. If you like white wines, it's really good. But there's also a vintner up there. I talked to him this last week. Who's making really, really good reds. And I'm really kind of surprised by this because I didn't know you could do it. But with all the hybrid growing that is done now, he's managed to do it. So we have a lot of really interesting wines coming up. We're going to talk about Michigan wines in January and February here on the show. I'm excited about some of the vintners that are sending us their stuff. It's places you've been to now.
Yes.
And places I've frequented when I lived there. So I'm excited about showcasing some of those here in the coming weeks. So adding wine to the show has been fun.
It has been fun.
And I hope you guys like it too. And please do support the vintners that we talk about here on the show. We always put their website up on our website so you can go and order pretty much, you know, depending on your liquor laws in your state you're in. But if you're able to, these wines that we feature are able to be shipped to most places of the country. All right.
I think we have another space to look at.
We do. We have a bedroom, I believe, to take a little peek at, and here we go. This is just kind of it's a nice bedroom space. The furniture decent. I like those sleigh beds like that. It's just kind of vanilla right now, the way it is. And it's like, what do you do to spice that up?
Did they say what they were wanting to achieve with this room?
They wanted some more personality to the room. They like their bedroom set, but they're just really not quite sure how to make the room more personable for them and open to ideas and colors. So there really was no specific direction on palette, if you will. They want your palette ideas. So,
well, I really like, can I see it bigger again?
Here's the bigger picture.
Okay. I really like the wood on this bedroom set. It's really nice. It's kind of a darker tone.
Dark cherry, I'd say.
Yeah. So with that, they've got, it looks like, you know, fairly decent carpet in this room. That's a neutral color. To really make the wood pop and to really add a relaxing, you know, feel to the room, I would go with kind of a blue tone on the walls. And blues are so hard to pick out, because if you go a little blue and you put it up on your wall, it's like your whole room's a robin's egg. Mm-hmm. Sometimes err on the side of less when you're picking out blue, because it can overwhelm a room so quickly. But I would do kind of a calming gray blue, slate blue in this room.
Yeah.
And I actually think I would do, you know, the main walls of the room, I would do a true slate blue. And then I would maybe go up a shade or two lighter on the ceiling. This room has kind of a vaulted ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's just a sea of white, but because you have so much of that ceiling that's not just straight overhead, it's angled up, it's in your line of vision. So I would actually play on that, and I would do maybe a couple shades lighter on the blue on the ceiling as
I was going to say, like, the way that this thing is slightly slanted, could you do some paint on there without it being overkill?
I would, and it's going to make the room feel cozier, possibly make the ceiling feel a little bit lower, but it's not going to, you know, overwhelm and crowd the room, but it's going to give more of that cozy feel. I know that the dresser came with a mirror that's perfectly fine, but I'm a big fan of finding some other type of decorative mirror to put over a dresser just to add some visual interest.
A good silver mirror would go good with the blue.
Sure, you know, something like that, or something, you know, with the actual frame mirrored itself.
Yeah.
You know, you can play with it and kind of, you know, set the tone for the room. If you want to have more of an antique-y feel, you can go with something that's got some chippy paint. Or if you want more of a lush feel, you know, go with something that's maybe got the mirrored frame, like I mentioned. But too often, you know, you've got your standard mirror over your dresser, and it's like a little too matchy-matchy.
Sure.
But I would hang some either artwork or mirrors as well behind the lamps on the nightstands, and that's going to reflect more light into the room, but it also gives another layer of kind of elegance, if you will.
Yeah.
And then over the headboard, it just screams for something, either a piece of wall art or a piece of architecture, something that's going to just really, you know, kind of highlight the grandness of the room.
A picture of George Costanza laid out, you know.
Yeah, spread out on the couch in his boxers.
That'd be a good over the bedroom.
No, I mean,
nothing sets the tone for romance like that.
I guess if it were my room, I would do maybe a series of old windows that don't have glass in them, just hung over the bed. Something that's just going to be, you know, something that's going to catch your eye, kind of visual. And then it looks like there's shears on the windows. I hate sheer curtains. I have yet to figure out the purpose of sheer curtains.
Yeah.
Either go with curtains or don't.
Or don't, because the sheer curtains don't block light.
They don't block light. They don't provide any privacy.
No.
So, and these are kind of maroonish ones. Get those down. Either put up, you know, maybe some white curtains or even pattern curtains against the blue. Or, you know, maybe look at doing a bamboo shade. It's just a matter of the feel that you want. But just do something other than shears. I don't. Do you know why there's shears curtains?
I have no idea. I didn't know what I was doing when I was buying curtains initially.
Yeah.
And I would buy those and be like, these aren't really doing anything for me. It's like either they block light or they don't. I want light blocked. When I have a curtain or that's why I love shutters now.
Yeah.
It's like, block the damn light. That's the purpose of this.
I love shutters
too. But the, I would go with, if you can do a shutter, I would do a shutter there. But if you can go with a good light blocking mm-hmm. curtain of some sort that plays into the feel of the room and the color, lots of neat, designs and textures you can go with that really work with that light blue, mm-hmm. the silver tones you're going to be working with. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with almost everything you said. As far as the lighting fixtures, next to the bed, I'd probably go with some sort of like a mirrored glass, lamp.
Like a mercury
yeah,
glass.
Yeah, like a mercury glass. Mm-hmm. We've done some of that. I think that would fit really well with the blue, and I completely agree on the mirror. The mirror with the headboard, get rid of it. It just kind of came with it. It's not going to, you know, there's no reason to have it just to have it. Go with something that's going to be a little more innate for your room, and really kind of give it some more personality. You'll be much happier with that than what's built into the mm-hmm. dresser itself.
I would say the bedding, go with some grown-up bedding. It kind of looks like
I can't see what it is.
It's striped.
Go with Grover. Go with a Grover pattern where Grover's like waving.
It's striped. Oh, I'm sure this is a simple bed to make up in the morning.
I think my parents had that pattern.
And I would
they still do.
You want to add some lushness to this, you know? Yeah. I would go with a few more pillows, yeah. bigger pillows in the back, but also, you know, add some kind of...
Let's talk about bedding for a moment. Let's talk okay. about, because that's something we've really kind of learned about in the last
sure.
year or two. Do you want more? Are you good?
Of course I want more. When have I ever said no more wine? I don't
think I've ever recalled hearing that.
I don't have a problem.
But there's so many just good sheets out there that are now affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're obviously the one that has been buying a lot of, not obviously, mm-hmm. but you have been the one that's been picking them sure. out a lot lately. And there's been two that there's that super, super fine one that we've been actually buying through. And this is not a commercial. This is not an advertisement whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We'll just talk about sheets here for a moment since we're on the topic. Holy sheets.
Okay.
What was the last one you just bought? It almost had like kind of that perfect t-shirt quality to it. What was that?
Modal. It's either Modal or Modell. It depends okay. on how snotty you want to sound.
Again, not an ad. No. Not being paid for. This is just us talking about the product.
Modal. Okay. And it's like cotton. I think it's in the cotton family. I'm not real sure. Okay. It's either super processed. I don't know what it is. It's extremely soft. I probably about 20 years ago got a pair of jammies made out of it, and yeah. they were my favorite ever. So when I saw sheets mm-hmm. made out of it, I was like, oh, we got to try this.
Sure.
The only downside is they don't kind of keep their shape. They kind of stretch all over. And so it's hard to make the bed when they don't. There's no crispness to them.
And I do like them, but here's the one thing I did notice, and I brought it up the other night. It kind of does ball up eventually.
It pills.
Kind of like a yeah. sweater. So it's like there's probably a limited lifespan on that. But the other thing that we've been getting, those super fine ones that we've been getting that are just so smooth, but they're mm-hmm. cheap. And like in the past, you'd have to spend like, you know, $100, $200, $300 for a set of sheets like that. But now whatever the hell, what is the
material?
They're
like microfiber.
It's some sort of a microfiber.
Yeah. And the thing is, I know you can buy
it's not the thread count. Like it's
all the thread
count. Yeah.
You know, 1,200 thread count.
This puts it to shame.
I like my goofy t-shirt yeah. sheets, you know?
There was a point where we actually did buy really good, whatever the hell, super high thread count sheets.
Yeah.
And they were expensive. Like, yeah. oh, these will be like sheets that will last a lifetime. No, they actually weren't. We then bought, they were like $30 sheets mm-hmm. on Amazon that just had crazy high reviews. And it was just that not even a thread count with it. It was the microfiber.
It's just listed as microfiber.
Oh my God. And it was 10 times better. It's one of those like things that comes out to the marketplace and it changes the game
yeah.
On sheets and things that are out there. There's so many ways to get good, comfortable sheets now without spending a ton of money. I mean, there really is.
And the thing is, don't buy sheets based on thread count
no.
if you don't like how they feel anyway. Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're yeah. the, you know, highest quality.
Sure.
If you're not comfortable in them, you're not going to sleep good in them. So.
And I get the argument if it was 1989 and that's all you had to go on and thread count was the basis of everything.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore.
No, and there's all kind yeah. of, you know, hybrid fabrics yeah. and things out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Did we
sheets? There we
get
go.
That done.
We answered that.
Yeah,
that's good. It's something that
it
applies,
is.
You
it
know,
is.
To what we're talking about. So, there you go. It's more than you ever thought you'd wanted to know about what we sleep on at night. We sleep on, and we don't even use any of that. We actually sleep on squirrel pelts. That's we've caught them here in the Ozarks, and I catch them, and Jenny kind of knits them together during the day. And
so Sarah says, "Wow, Tony, did you get a shaver for Christmas? You look 10 years off.
10 years younger.
10 years younger.
Do I look 10 years younger when I shave? Is it?
You kind of do.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: your shaver was literally on its last leg.
It died. It died tonight, and I was like, I was shaving weird designs into where I still have hair on my head, and I was like, here, can I do this? Can I go on the air with this tonight, honey? And it was just weird designs.
You had a big T on the side of your head, and I was putting my makeup on. You were goofing around, and then your shaver started to die, and I was like, yes, please let it die so he has to go
wear a hat
on the show
with
this big T, and he'll learn his lesson. But he managed to get enough life out of it that I didn't get it to survive.
It died. I tried unscrewing it and getting it to change.
God.
I just got to get rid of it. And then I had a backup one, which was actually made for, because the shaver that I used for what's left of my hair, on this little like crown of hair that I have.
It's like a Caesar crown.
Yeah, I mean, it's more so just for like beards and stuff, but it's so light I can usually get away with it. But it has died tonight after I made some designs in my head. That's karma saying, guess what, Tony? Screw you. But I did have an extra like a Remington plug-in one that is made for shaving your head. And I used that and I got the rest of it off, and then I used a razor.
So nothing like tuning in to hear how to improve the looks of your home with the big T shaved out of your head. I'm glad things worked out.
I was going in for the, it would be great. Just like a lightning bolt or something. And
right.
Like I'm a 1989 basketball player, you know, like back,
yeah.
Back when like people would do like the designs and everything.
I know.
Or well, some of the pump shoes.
I think you may be getting a shaver for Christmas. So
I'm already ordering one on Amazon tonight. So there you go.
Good.
So. I have to replace that pretty quick. Although I only shave like once every 2 months.
That's true.
In fact, maybe I should just, I'll start here. This is the beginning of the new year for the show.
Uh-huh.
I should just not shave until December of 2018. We could do like a totally, it'd be a very dramatic before and after.
That'd be gross.
It'd be like down to here.
You have animals living in your face.
Chipmunks. It's like, and during the year, I made some friends.
Well, I made you shave last time because your beard started to smell like barf. It did. I didn't want to kiss you because your beard smelled like barf.
Well, that's special. How does that happen? Is it just,
I don't know.
Just breath gets on it and just,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Don't ask
barf
me.
Barf on your beard? I mean, I don't think I barfed, but.
No. I don't think he barfed, but it was gross.
This would be a great little excerpt right here, just this little piece.
God.
No, I don't think he barfed, but... Junkin' with Jenny.
It's been fun, y'all.
There you go. That wraps up today's episode of the program called Barfing with Beards. And... gross. I would like to see that the T-shave.
The T-shave was epic. It was so funny.
I love how much fun you two have. Yep, I agree with Jenny. So
that's the first time I've seen him nervous about his appearance. I was like thinking you were going to go on the show with this T-shave, didn't you?
I shaved this really quickly. I have to be on camera in 30 minutes. Yeah, it...
Yeah, it was great.
It was a good time. All right. Thank you, guys. Love to see you finally chill out, it says Michael.
It's the
You're
alcohol.
Usually pretty chill.
Every Thursday night we're doing
when
this.
When we drink on the air, it's easier. So, yeah, every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central, join us here for Junkin' with Jenny. You guys get to see this before everybody else.
Right.
We do it live because this ends up going out to the Junkin' with Jenny feed and the podcast feed about 2 or 3 weeks later. A little bit longer this time because of the holidays.
Yeah.
Normally it's about a week or two out, but it'll be longer this time because we're going to take some of the holiday weeks off. So we will return with more episodes of Junkin' with Jenny like this, 8 p.m. Central on Thursday nights, the first week in January. So join us back then. This will probably be our last Junkin' with Jenny Facebook Live. Until then, I mean, maybe I might get a Real Ghost Stories Online in there live before then. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll
see.
Be good.
But the Junkin' with Jenny back again live the first week of January here on this channel. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for listening. If you're listening on the podcast, greatly appreciate it. JunkinWithJenny.com is a website. Submit your pictures, your stuff, and we may talk about it on a future episode of the program. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you again next year on another episode, or this year, depending when you're listening to this, with Junkin with Jenny. And again, be sure to check out our wine of the week here, our creative juice of the substance, Cabernet Sauvignon. The Charles Smith is a winemaker. Great, great stuff. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching.